Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 992. We're getting closer to that 1,000 mark. Pretty cool. Our topic today is Q&A. The title is, I'm new to working out. Where do I start? So we got an email recently from a listener. So thank you for those who send in emails. It's really fun to interact with everybody and kind of just know that somebody's listening. Sounds pretty cool. So they wrote, a friend of mine recommended your podcast. I've really enjoyed the nutrition and mindset podcasts. I've been wanting to get into weight training, but I've never been to the gym before, and I'm not sure where to start. So they went on and kind of said some other things and hesitations they've been having. But I thought that would make a pretty good podcast, is to talk about kind of where do you start if you're kind of new to the gym or you're new to weight training. Now, first of all, I want to say thank you to the friend who recommended the podcast. That's pretty awesome. Anybody who recommends podcasts or shares on social media, I sincerely appreciate that. The more people we get aware of the podcast, the more people we can help. So it's pretty awesome. So thank you. So I figured I'd just share like where I started. So I'm 37. And I started lifting weights when I was 16. I actually started kind of working out when I was 15, doing push-ups and sit-ups every day. I begged my parents for a weight set for my 16th birthday. That was like my birthday slash Christmas slash next Easter slash next birthday Christmas gift, because it was really expensive. But it was a pretty cool weight set. It had 300 pounds of plate weight. It had an adjustable bench. You could do flat to like different inclines of presses. Had like a stands on the back. You could do squats. You could do dips. Had leg extensions, leg curls. All the cool things that was cool back whenever I was 16 years old, which now you probably could even give that set away for free. But that's where I started. I started by listening, like actually watching videos. When I was that age at 16, we had dial-up internet. So yes, I'm 5,000 years old, but I had dial-up internet. And I would get home from school and I'd be super excited because I could download a 20-minute training video from RX Muscle. And the videos were titled In the Iron Asylum. I still remember the logo and everything. And it was actually just kind of like a voiced-over interview. They had a video of a bodybuilder kind of going through and doing exercises. And then the host, Dave Palumbo, would interview the bodybuilder, and that would be like kind of like dubbed over the video. And I thought it was like the greatest thing in the world. So it'd take like 2 hours to download a 20-minute video. I'd watch the video, and then I'd go down in the basement in my own little gym there. My parents let me use half of our garage for my gym. And I would just do everything that I saw in the video, whatever I could kind of mimic with the equipment that I had. I then bought what everybody should buy is the Arnold Schwarzenegger's Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding. So that was pretty freaking awesome. Got to read through that. And then I used to get magazines every month from, I think it was like Flex Magazine, Muscular Development. And they came out every like 30 days every month. And I remember it only took me one day to read through them. And then I was impatiently waiting for 29 more days. But that was where I started. So reading lots of magazines, anything I saw in the magazine, I would try to mimic or do on my own. I've read through Arnold's Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding, watched those videos. So it was just a lot of information consumption. And at that time, it wasn't the abundance of information that you have nowadays, where there's almost so much information you don't know what's good. Whenever I was looking at that stuff at that kind of time, there wasn't really a lot available. So the only people putting out content was actually like kind of, it was worth their while because they were good and they were making money off of it. So I think it was easier to kind of cipher through good stuff at that age. So it's a little tougher now because everybody and the brother has a YouTube channel and you don't really know, you know, who's good or not. So we're going to answer some of that today. But then when I got into kind of going to a public gym, I would do whatever I knew, you know, from things I'd try at home, and I would try new machines, and I was very lucky that I didn't really care if I looked like an idiot. I just wanted to learn. I was super excited about the possibility of what weight training could do for me. It could change my body, and it could help me develop myself into what I wanted to be. I was willing to try anything and everything, look like an idiot. It didn't matter to me. I just wanted to try everything I could. One of the things I remember when I went to college, I started my college career at University of Pittsburgh, so Pitt, and it was such a big school that I remember I went to the kind of the weight training center, the weight room that was open to the students, and there was always so many people around, it was pretty easy to find somebody who looked like kind of the way I wanted to look, or they looked better than I did. So I would kind of watch and see. I was a total creeper, but I'd watch and see like what they were doing. And I would just kind of like when they left the machine, I would go to that machine and then kind of do what I thought they were doing. I'd count their reps, kind of pay attention to their positions. And I was trying to just learn as much as I could. Eventually, what that led to was kind of me showing my friends different things. People would start asking questions because they could, you know, they could tell that it's what I loved, and I would talk about it quite a bit probably. And then they start seeing me, saw me get results. So people started asking questions, and it kind of grew from there. But that's how I got started, was just really soaking in as much information as I could and then just practicing. My mom is actually somebody I've worked with since she was 47 years old. I won't tell you what her age is now because I don't think you're supposed to, but it's been 16 years, so you can do the math. So I started helping her. She had restless leg syndrome and was having trouble sleeping, and I told her that exercise would help. So I started helping her, and we got her started kind of in a similar way where we lifted at home, got used to kind of doing movements, getting familiar with the burning pain of exercise, the sweat of exercise, getting into all that. And then we eventually kind of graduated to get past our home gym. We went to a public gym, which was the local high school, actually opened up a fitness center for the community. And I was actually very blessed. I got to be part of that and kind of help design that and everything. So that's pretty cool. So very intimidating for my mom, though. At the time, she worked from our house. She was she ran a daycare center from our house, and she didn't go out of the house much. So to go over to the public school was already kind of a little bit of a stretch because you're out in, you know, society and everybody can view you, and she's doing something she's not necessarily comfortable with or familiar with. So it's very kind of like nerve-wracking, I'm sure. So we started her on treadmill. She just kind of walked on the treadmill for a little while, got a feel for the environment, got a feel for the people, got to meet a couple friendly faces. Then we started doing some lightweight, some bodyweight movements. And then eventually I took her back to the back part of the gym where the quote-unquote all the boys were, and we started lifting dumbbells, and she freaking loved it, and it kind of grew from there. So my mom did her first bodybuilding show when she was 50. She did another one when she was 52, another one when she was 54, and since then she's done like 10 powerlifting meets. So pretty freaking awesome. It kind of grew from that, and just really cool how it turned out. So everybody who's lifts weights now eventually had at one point in time their kind of where they started story. And I actually got to teach weight training classes at the local university for 7.5 years. I used to teach classes like exercise physiology and things like that. And one of the classes I taught was weight training. And it was fun in the sense to where I got to kind of experiment and write the curriculum to decide or kind of figure out how was the best way to introduce weight training to all the students. And I was able to work with well over 500 students, so it was a lot of fun experimenting and kind of playing around with that. And what I want to do today is just kind of talk about some things that like I learned in my journey. I learned through taking my mom and other clients and friends, how I learned taking the students through all of it, and just kind of what are the pros and cons, what are some things we can think of, what should we look for. Well, there are podcasts that we have that have like the term newbie in them. So in the gym world, if you're new to exercising, you're called a newbie. So N-E-W-B-I-E. We have three podcasts that I would definitely recommend you check out because it breaks down kind of what is a dumbbell, what is a barbell, explains what are sets and reps, and explains kind of very beginner information, but that way you learn the language of exercise. And that kind of helps you build the foundation of understanding for everything else that we build on that. So podcasts, I'm going to name three for you right now. So you want to get out pen, paper, anything like that. So podcast number 290 is titled Newbie Knowledge Part 1. Podcast 294 is Newbie Knowledge Part 2. And podcast 298 is Newbie Knowledge Part 3. Now, if you have trouble finding those on your podcast platform, you can Google that, like Google them. So again, you just Google Brutal Iron Gym Podcast 290 Newbie Knowledge Part 1. And if you can't find it for there, just email us. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I can send you the direct link for those three podcasts. That's absolutely the best, first place I would go to. And again, it's good information because of all of my own personal background, and background with clients, background with teaching at the university. This is all kind of the base knowledge that I've found to be the best area, the best information to build from. So you want to check out those three podcasts. Absolutely well worth your time. Promise, promise, promise. Then where would you go from there? the big thing that I'd recommend, and this is going to sound like a sales pitch because I do personal training myself, but I would recommend that you get a personal trainer if you can afford it, because it's getting someone to kind of take you through, show you how to do things, everything specific to you. So one of the exercises you'll learn is called a lateral raise, and you often do that with dumbbells. And basically what you do is you hold dumbbells kind of with your arms extended at your sides, and then you're just going to raise them out to your side, like raise them up like you're trying to make a T with your body. What that exercise does, it trains your shoulders. But it depends on a person's posture, depends on kind of the health of their shoulders, will really dictate the pathway in which they can move. And getting a trainer to show you how to move through exercises such as that to find the best pathway for you is very helpful. So since everybody is built a little bit different, you might watch a tutorial video, maybe watch a video on YouTube, and see someone moving in a certain way. You try to mimic that, and all of a sudden it just doesn't quite feel right. It doesn't feel natural to you. Often, without understanding that there's individual differences, you'll feel that you have to stay with what you see, even if it feels uncomfortable. So getting a trainer can help you kind of take the concept that's important to learn, but apply it individually to you. So at our gym, for example, and when I work with clients online, we personalize like your program. So your like weight training program would be written specific for your goals, your equipment availability, your schedule, your needs, all that stuff. And that's definitely what a trainer should be able to do for you. Unfortunately, sometimes at kind of big commercial gyms, trainers just take every client through the exact same program. And I'm not a big fan of that because, as we just said, everybody's a little bit different. They should be able to personalize everything. So make sure that if you do work with a trainer that you have somebody who personalizes things. You're getting individual programming that's written specifically for you. Now, if you do bulk programming, which would be programming that's written for multiple people, they should be very clear that that's what you're following. But if they're a trainer, they should be able to personalize it while they're standing there right with you. Typically, what I'd recommend is that you get a trainer, you get a program written for you, and then you follow it and get some help maybe for a month or two. They can help you learn the basics, kind of learn the ropes, make sure you can stay safe, make sure you're moving efficiently through everything, make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck and you're staying safe and learning what's most important. So I definitely would recommend that you start with a trainer if you have access to that. And now with like the world as it is, there's so much online support that really, even if you don't have a trainer physically where you live, you can get an online trainer. So for myself, I work with people all across the United States, like from New York down to Florida, out to California. I have clients in Spain. I have a client in Mexico. I have a client in the UK. So it's fun that you can do a lot of that stuff through like just the video reviews and just social media. So it's pretty neat. So there is availability. You can definitely find that. If you don't want to go the route of a trainer, then at least get a good program. There are a lot of programs written now that are specific for a goal that you might want to achieve, say fat loss or bodybuilding or, you know, powerlifting, like strength training kind of stuff. You can get good programs. And we'll talk about like what makes a good program here in a second. But the benefit of that is that you have a clear-cut direction, very knowledgeable, definitive of what you should do. And it's written well, it's not going to waste your time, you're going to do safe movements, all the good stuff. So we offer that through our website and through our services as well. We do monthly programming for strength, for aesthetic development, which would include like fat loss, bodybuilding kind of things. And we have male-specific programs and female-specific programs because there are differences when you train males versus females, for sure. There's also other good programs out there. Some of the people that I like that I would recommend. One is Josh Bryant. If you look for him on YouTube or Instagram, he's under the name Jailhouse Strong. A little bit maybe scary name, but he has really, really good foundational programs. So that's a good source. John Meadows is another really good source. And then Jim Wendler is a powerlifter. He wrote a program called 531. And those are going to all be very good sources. So John Meadows is kind of pretty much like bodybuilding aesthetic development. Jim Wendler's 5-3-1 is more so like strength training. And then Josh Bryant, the reason why I like him a lot is he kind of blends the two. So he's very good at blending that, which is what I like to do as a trainer myself, is there's, why can't you be big and strong and lean? Why not get all of it? And so that's definitely something you could look for. Unfortunately, though, there are a lot of programs that are absolute crap. So how do you know what the good ones are? First of all, any program that's good should have some type of technique education, some type of support for you to learn proper technique, whether it's videos or, you know, a book, a manual, something. There should be something that you have that you can look up proper technique for exercises. So in our programming, for example, in every single exercise we ever write for any client ever, there's a video on YouTube showing tutorial, kind of like technique education. So none of my clients ever have to guess at anything I write for them. There's a video included in every single exercise. I have a document of kind of saved videos that I pull from. That document is 120 pages in Microsoft Word document. So that's a lot of pages. And it's basically line by line by line. So there's well over 2,000 exercises at this point that I have videos for, and I actually know how to teach and program all of them. So it's pretty fun. But that's what any good program should have, is some type of technique education, technique support. There's also should be variability of execution. The program should be able to kind of be modified based on just life. You know, sometimes in life you're going to miss a workout. Sometimes in life you have to change days within the program. So there absolutely should be some type of kind of variety or variability or some way for you to modify the program based on just the demands of life. So if there's a program that says like it's only this, like it's black and white, that's probably not a good program. The other thing is it should have rep ranges. For the love of God, programs should have rep ranges. Unfortunately, there are people who sell programs that just say you should do 4 sets of 10. Good luck trying to guess at the exact weight that you can get exactly 10 reps with exact technique breakdown. Meaning you didn't just quite die at 9, but you didn't stop at 10 when you really could have done 11th. Absolutely should have rep ranges. It's ridiculous that programs out there don't have rep ranges. It should always, any program should have a mix of what's called free weights and machines. And if you listen to those newbie podcasts, that'll kind of explain that a little bit more. But a free weight is something like a dumbbell or a barbell where it can move in any direction whatsoever. It's kind of you having to move and control the position of the weight versus like a machine that kind of just moves in a fixed pathway. So if you think of like a leg press, it's only going to move up and down. You can't move to left, can't move to the right. You don't really have to work to balance it. You just have to kind of shove the thing up and down. Whereas free weights are things like dumbbells, barbells, like we said, that you have to kind of control. But there are benefits to having free weights. There's benefits to having machines. So free weights, for example, they require more involvement of you. You have to support and stabilize the movement as well as actually perform the movement. So there's a lot more muscles involved. There's a lot more coordinational development. So there's just kind of overall better application of the skill set learned in a free weight movement to doing other things in life. You know, if you're moving a heavy box at the house or you're doing some yard work, free weight exercises kind of translate better towards those kind of movements. And then there's benefits to machines. Machines are safe, fixed pathways. You're a lot less likely to get hurt. They're a great thing to add in kind of towards the end of a workout when you're physically exhausted. Maybe your stabilizing muscles are kind of worn out, but the big strong muscles are still, you know, there's still something left in them to be kind of worked. So as your stabilizers get tired with free weights, you move to machines, and the machines can stabilize it for you as your big muscles still keep going. So there's definitely a benefit to having a blend of free weights and machines. And then two more things here is, next to last, is the emphasis on kind of big, basic, what's called compound movements. And again, the newbie podcast will explain that in more detail. But a compound movement just means that there's multiple muscles and multiple joints involved. Whereas the opposite of that, or the contrast to that, would be what's called an isolation movement, which is where you're trying to isolate just a single joint or a single muscle. So if you think of like a bicep curl, that's really just your biceps. So that would be kind of like an isolation exercise. Where if you're doing a pull-up, that's going to involve your back, your biceps, kind of a lot of muscles. So that would be considered more of a compound movement. So a good program should have a blend of compound movements and isolations, but it should be mostly focused on those big compound movements, kind of squatting, deadlifting, bench pressing, overhead press, kind of big basic movements that we would do kind of all in life. And then you have isolation movements kind of towards the end of the workout to try to support the development of the bigger basic movements. Then it would be a bonus if you could find a program that has things like corrective exercise therapy concepts. So, for example, I'm a corrective exercise therapist, and what we do is we include in our programming things for shoulder health, for kind of hip posture. We make sure that we balance the common imbalances in the body. So, for example, most people have stronger quadriceps than they have glutes and hamstrings. So in our programming, we make sure we favor the glutes and hamstrings to kind of balance that. Most people have poor what's called thoracic mobility, which is mobility of your shoulder blades and kind of what we would notice as like our posture. So our programming includes work to improve posture. You can also have programming that has what's called self-treatments. If you have something that's bugging you a little bit, like maybe your elbow kind of bothers you or your knee's bugging you a little bit, there are treatments and therapies and things you can do to address that, and our program includes that. And then you want to have programs that have like variety and they teach you kind of multiple movements rather than just having the same movements repeated over and over and getting bored to death. You want to have some variety. Typically, our programming renews itself every single month to where you learn some movements in week one. You get a little more familiar with them in week two. Then you get to kind of test yourself in week three, then really push yourself in week four to see how you can do. And then next month, you get brand new stuff. So it builds on, like programs build month to month to month, so that way you can develop a library of knowledge, a library of exercises over time to really feel confident and comfortable with what you're doing in the gym. So any good program you have should have all of those things. Technique education, variability of execution, meaning it can kind of fit your schedule. It should have rep ranges. I'm laughing that I even have to say that. Unfortunately, people still rate programs without rep ranges. It should have a mix of free weights and machines and kind of be focused mostly on big compound movements with kind of isolation movements towards the end of the workout. So that is what you would want to look for if you want to write that list down. Those are things you want to look for when you're looking for what would be considered a good program. So, summary of where you should start is I would definitely recommend the best place to start is to get a trainer and get personalized programming. You can get nutrition program, you can get training program, everything written specifically for your goals, your needs, your availability. Why not do that? It's going to make everything be so much more efficient, and it's going to allow the programming to meet you where you are, rather than following programming that maybe doesn't directly apply to you. Maybe you're not the right person that they had in mind for that. So why not get stuff that's specific for you? So for example, our starting price for services like that is $150 a month. And that's not a lot considering how much time is put into it from my end. but that's something that you could definitely, you know, afford that. If training and exercise and health is something that's important to you, you know, you kind of don't go out to eat once or twice a month and all of a sudden you have the money. There's other ways to kind of come up with the money and save the money, but that's an option. If you don't want to start with that, you can still get a good program that has support to it. And our option, for example, starts at $50 a month. So you can definitely get the support you need, get clarity of where to start, and make sure that what you're starting with is safe, effective, and best for you. Cool. So I really recommend that you start with the podcast that I mentioned, podcast 290, 294, and 298. Those are going to be great podcasts to kind of build your knowledge base that you can then kind of, when you see programming, when you hear a trainer talk, you'll know the lingo and everything will make a little more sense to you. I am going to give you 5 more podcasts. I know this is maybe a little bit of an overload, but if you're an information junkie like I was, you will listen to all of these. So I laugh. There's a lot of channels I follow on YouTube. One of them is Super Training 06, which was a channel started by Mark Bell, who owns HowMuchYouBench.net. He sells like hip circles and slingshots and things now. Pretty famous dude now. But I remember when he was just a chubby powerlifter that no one watched any of his videos. He has a YouTube channel that probably has over 2,000 videos now. But I remember when nobody knew him, it took him till he had about 1,100, maybe 1,200 videos on YouTube that he started becoming kind of more famous. The reason why I know it was 1,200 videos was because I watched every single one. And that was only one YouTube channel that I was following out of many, many, many more. So I soaked in as much information as I could. It was what I watched while I ate. It's what I watched before I fell asleep. It's what I did in my free time. Now, that was me personally, because this is something I'm passionate about and it's what I love to do. You might not have the time for that, to give to that, but that just furthers the importance or the benefit of getting a trainer, getting somebody who really does know all that information. Okay. So five more podcasts that I'd like you to look at. Now, again, if you can't find these, or if you want a summary of these, if you want the direct links, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I will send you the direct link for the three podcasts we mentioned already and the five that I'm about to name. So please, please, please write these down, or please email me. I promise these will be worth your time. Okay? So podcast 124 is titled Setting Smart Goals. SMART is actually an acronym that stands for kind of like five ways in which you want to set up your goals to make sure they're specific, they're measurable, they're attainable, they're relatable, time sensitive, they're all the good stuff to make sure that these goals are actually, they can be met and they're realistic. So podcast 124 is great for that. Podcast number 603 is titled, How Do I Know If I Have Good Form? Your technique is what's going to keep you safe. Your technique is going to be what ensures that what you think you're working is actually being worked. So if you think you're working your chest muscle, but you have horrible technique, you're just going to aggravate the front of your shoulder and maybe annoy your elbow. So knowing that you have good form is a way in which to ensure you stay safe, and of what you do, you get the best results from it. So podcast 603, titled How Do I Know If I Have Good Form, will actually teach you how you can know for yourself if you have good form. You can get a trainer to help, and you can listen to podcast number 603. Podcast number 220 is titled Muscle Intention versus Movement Intention. This is one of the biggest mistakes I see people make all the time in the gym, is they will be performing an exercise, and their goal might be to work a specific muscle. But they're moving 1,000 miles an hour using every other muscle under the sun, and they're focusing more on the movement rather than focusing on the muscle. But if you're in strength sports and you're performing a deadlift, for example, you do want to pay attention to specific muscular involvements, but your overall goal is the movement, to smoothen the movement, to be efficient in the movement. You want to ensure that if your intent is to work the muscle, that you're using the right technique for that. You want to ensure that if your intent is to improve a movement, that you're using the right technique for that. So podcast 220, titled Muscle Intention versus Movement Intention, will explain in greater details about how you can be sure if you're moving the exercise in the right way. Okay? Two more to go. Podcast number 982. It's titled Why Programs Should Have Rep and Percentage Ranges and How to Use Them. You want to know why repetitions come in ranges and why you should be maybe in the bottom of the range or the top of the range, or how do you select the right weight? How do I know if the weight I'm using is heavy enough or too heavy? This podcast answers that question. Again, it's podcast number 982, titled Why Programs Should Have Rep and Percentage Ranges and How to Use Them. Okay, the last one I want you to listen to is podcast 742. Well, actually, hopefully not the last one. Hopefully you still listen to more after this. But the last one I'm going to give you today is podcast number 742, titled Managing Workout Intensity. What that's going to do is explain for you is, how do you know if you're training hard enough? How do you know if you're not training? Like, how do you know if you're training too hard, maybe? So when I was younger, I was really passionate about this, and I really wanted to make a change. So I worked out to the point where I'd throw up. And I did that quite often, and it was absolutely unnecessary. It can seem like a badge of honor, but what I was doing was essentially digging this big hole of stress that I wasn't able to sleep enough to recover from and eat enough to recover from. So I actually limited the progress I could make, because I was actually overtraining. I was using too much intensity. To the counterpoint of that is, you'll see people who go to the gym for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. They're still using the same weights, doing the same reps, looking the same. How do you avoid that? Is by properly managing your workout intensity, knowing how hard is hard enough, how hard is too hard. So podcast 742, titled Managing Workout Intensity, will help you learn that. Okay, so a lot of information in today's podcast. I've already been talking for 29 minutes and 20 seconds, so thank you for listening. But to answer, where should I start? How do I know where to start? Learn as much as you can. I've named a lot of resources, and they were our podcasts, so please listen to those. That'll help you get the kind of the baseline of knowledge. You then want to talk to a trainer. Get a trainer to help you. If you don't want to do the trainer, okay, fine. At least get a really good program. Now, I mentioned a couple sources, but I am a source. If you're listening to this podcast and you trust me, then my programming is good. I'm going to toot my own horn here, I guess. But I've been doing this for 19 years, and this is all I've done. I've been a teacher at a university for this stuff. I've helped over 2,000 clients. I've helped professional-level clients all the way down to beginners. The information that you'll hear in our podcast, the information you would get in our programming, has all of that knowledge, all of that experience behind it. I promise you, it is good information. So if you want to learn more about that, if you want to ask some questions, if you want to just tell me what your story is, what your goals are, let me know what you're working on, okay? And I'll help you out. I'll help you decide where's the best place to start. So just email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com if you have any questions about programming, if you just want to reach out and tell us like what your goals are and what your worries are, what are your concerns, what are your struggles. Just let us know. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. Okay. Well, I appreciate you listening to the podcast. I do hope it was helpful. So thank you. And if you do like the podcast, click like. If you think it's helpful, please share it. The more people we share the podcast with, the more people we can help. So thank you if you do that. I really appreciate it. You can also find more information from us. If you haven't followed us yet on social media, please check out our Instagram account. We post every single day, so please find us under the name Brutal Iron Gym and please follow us, or I think it's called Followers on Instagram. So please follow us so you can see the information. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, so you can check out those as well. And then if you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you need, I'm always here. Just email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.